Welcome to the Gamers Haven podcast. This is Ethan coming at you with something a little different today. Like I've said on the show, we're planning on having some interviews with game industry professionals, authors, creators of all kind on the show. Coming up, we've got an interview coming up with Matt Shoemaker, who is the author of a book called Gathering of Gamers, Dungeons and Dragons and Other Games Through Gen Con. Matt is an author and has been has a couple different books available on Lulu.com. This is a book about the history of Gen Con and the games that are played at it and kind of their impact and their societal importance, that sort of thing. It's a very fascinating book. I'm about two-thirds of the way through it right now in preparation for Matt being on the show. Matt has graciously allowed me to read a excerpt from the book for our audience. So we will we'll get right into that here shortly. Chapter 1, Introduction. Tabletop gaming conventions have been growing in popularity. For years, you learned about them via word of mouth or magazines. The May 1996 issue of Dragon, for example, listed 26 different gaming conventions over the months of May, June, and July. If the rest of the year saw a similar number of shows, we would have around 100 different conventions that year. In 2024, Tabletop.events, the popular tabletop gaming convention organizing site, witnessed approximately 312 shows use its platform. This does not include the many conventions that take place using other platforms like Warhorn, for its organizational needs. These games, be they board games, collectible card games, role-playing games, miniature games, or others, were designed to be played face-to-face with physical game pieces. While recent technology has made it possible to still enjoy some of these games over the internet, many people who have the means prefer to gather in person to play in groups. Gaming conventions provide a space for people to gather to play games, collaborate on game design, and interact with publishers and other exhibitors. For those who wish to immerse themselves in all things tabletop for a long weekend, there is no better place to do so than a gaming convention. These conventions are a relatively new phenomenon. Charles S. Roberts started this path in 1952 when he sat down in his apartment in Catonsville, Maryland, to design the war game Tactics. Coming off an enlisted tour in Korea, Roberts was back in the States and freshly commissioned with the National Guard. He had dreams of becoming a professional soldier and signed up for what was called a competitive tour of duty that, upon completion, would turn his National Guard commission into a commission with the Army. To help himself train, Roberts designed a board game to study war in a way that was less noisy than the training field. The game featured two hypothetical post-World War II powers, red and blue, that clashed on a map of Roberts' design. This was the birth of the modern war game. As the Korean War wound down, so did the competitive tour of duty program, and with it, Roberts' dream of becoming a professional soldier. Seeking a new path, he started college in 1953, concentrating on business and marketing courses. During this period, he used his collegiate lessons and published Tactics in 1954 under the Avalon Game Company. Over time, Tactics sold about 2,000 copies, which allowed Roberts to more or less break even on his endeavor. With his school days coming to an end, Roberts decided to give publishing a go, and in 1958 formed Avalon Hill. He focused one of his next releases on designing the game Gettysburg to take advantage of the marketing around the upcoming Civil War centennial. His plan was a success, and this first historical war game made its way into the hands of many as their first board war game, including Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson, creators of Dungeons & Dragons. In 1958, Avalon Hill published two other titles, the war game Tactics 2, and the civilian-focused game about trains, Dispatcher. The latter was an attempt to capture the market of adult board game players that Roberts felt was being ignored by companies like Parker Brothers and Milton Bradley. During the first 5 years, Avalon Hill published more non-war game titles than war games, even though they did not sell as well. Roberts also learned about the budding community that was forming around war games and encouraged participants to form clubs and communicate with each other. This would not yet fully take off for a few more years, however. The fact that there were communities springing up around wargaming in the 1950s and 1960s was in many ways remarkable. The games were far different from any other board games at the time. For instance, where titles like Gettysburg are considered simple compared to most current war games, their rules were poorly written and complex. The interest was there, though, and their audience, primarily young men, who acquired these games, persevered and began to look for others of a like mind to play them with. By 1962, Roberts had acquired too much debt and was forced to sell Avalon Hill to his major competitor, Monarch Services. From there, publishing expanded by Monarch, and in 1964, the magazine The General was first released. This is where much of the real community building and eventual conventions began. The initial game conventions were small affairs, in the low hundreds to under 100 attendees, including Gen Con, the current premier tabletop gaming convention in the United States. While lesser shows still exist, it is not uncommon for even new shows, like 2024's Philadelphia Area Gaming Expo, to push more than 1,000 attendees. Today, Gen Con is the largest tabletop gaming-focused convention in the world, with more than 71,000 unique attendees. Counting attendees at conventions is difficult in general. Some shows count attendees in what is called turnstile attendance. Quite simply, whenever a guest enters the convention, they are counted. If they enter multiple times in a day or multiple times in a convention, which is bound to happen in a multi-day event, they are counted each time. Some people involved in running Gen Con in the past, such as Harold Johnson, noted that Gen Con had used this method at times. Another way to count turnout is by unique attendance. In this way, one person, usually tracked through the sale of an admissions ticket, is counted as one attendee. This is not a perfect method either, as someone who buys a Saturday and Sunday pass, for example, is likely going to be counted twice. While Gen Con accounts for this issue, not every convention does. Turnstile attendance numbers certainly sound more impressive, so when conventions are competing with each other, they prefer to use the higher number. When attendance numbers are cited in this book, it's not always obvious which method a convention is using. There are, of course, conventions with gaming components in the world that are bigger than Gen Con. Luca Comics and Games in Italy, for example, sold 275,182 tickets in its 2024 event. San Diego Comic-Con generally lists its numbers at about 130,000 people per year. These large pop culture shows, however, focus on many things beyond games as major components of their event, and therefore are not particularly comparable to conventions like Essen Spiel, Tokyo Game Market, UK Games Expo, Origins, PAX Unplugged, or Gen Con, all of which focus almost entirely on tabletop games. For those interested in being at the biggest tabletop convention currently out there, Gen Con is the place to be. Though this book focuses on Gen Con, it does provide insight into many aspects that are worth studying about tabletop gaming conventions in general. The most prominent feature is that it shows what happens when people come together in a physical space to participate in their hobby of gaming, rather than focusing on interactions in a virtual space. There are some exceptions, such as the online conventions Gen Con and other shows pivoted to in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Generally speaking, game conventions require people to come together in the same space and interact face-to-face. This removes much of the anonymity provided by the internet or even by the zine publications, magazine advertisements, and correspondence that occurred in this community pre-internet. In-person interactions allow for faster and more personal communication of ideas, be they a speedy exchange of game design feedback, direct engagement between fans and publishers, negative interactions occasionally experienced by women attendees as highlighted in Chapter 7, or an expression of solidarity as discussed in Chapters 10 and 11. Coming together for these events, even just to play, forces engagement with a wider set of the community than one can choose to silo themselves online. It can expose attendees to a broader range of ideas, both good and bad. Tabletop gaming today would look quite different if in-person conventions did not exist to facilitate this exchange. Additionally, tabletop gaming conventions provide a space to examine these games and the interactions around them, as they are generally designed to be experienced as in-person play for all personality types. There are many ways to play these games online today, but people usually want to enjoy them with others in the same room. Studying these events can help us see what brings people back to these experiences time and again in an environment that is simultaneously intimate and crowded. Not everyone who attends these events is an extrovert looking to maximize their social time. Some introverts come for the more small-scale experience of just a handful of people around a table playing something together and being able to connect with friends. More than 500,000 unique individuals have attended Gen Con between 2009 and 2024, which we know thanks to the sequential account ID numbering system the show implemented in 2009 and has yet to change. While obviously not all of these people attend each year, many return or seek out smaller, more regional events. The convention experience is undoubtedly attractive in its many permutations. As to Gen Con itself, the oldest and currently largest tabletop gaming convention in the world, it is worth examining to see how tabletop got to where it is today. Not only has Gen Con gone through multiple stages of growth, but it has also been the epicenter of change for tabletop gaming since the convention was first held in 1968. While much of the game design work and development for the most influential games took place outside of the convention, without Gen Con, many of them would never have been developed or reached a large enough market to grow. It is unlikely D&D would have been created in its published form without this convention, and if it had, without Gen Con, the game would not have been able to spread. Though D&D is certainly the biggest name in tabletop gaming that Gen Con boosted, it is far from the only one. Examining the history of Gen Con is a study in the history of tabletop gaming in the United States, and through it we can see not only how we got to where we are, but where we may be headed in the future. I want to thank Matt Shoemaker and PlayStory Press for the opportunity to read an excerpt from Gathering of Gamers, Dungeons & Dragons and Other Games Through Gen Con. I'm looking very much forward to speaking with Matt about this book, and I am hopeful in getting it finished before we do so. This is a very fascinating book, and I am a huge fan of the history of our industry and just the interesting sociological perceptions and just the information about, you know, the dice that we roll and the people that we play with. It's utterly fascinating. It's a really interesting book. So please join us on the Gamers Haven podcast with Matt Shoemaker. We're available on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, and many other platforms. But please give us a listen.